We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? I don't know if you've noticed or not, but this church is a little bit different than a lot of churches. It may be because your pastor is about 2 degrees off bubble. But I would think that there might be another reason. And if you turn to your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're reminded of what the church should be, what it should do. Really, as you look at these pastoral epistles, they are written to pastors, thus the reason why they're called pastoral epistles. These particular churches make reference to the way that you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, what the church is about. And so you read books like 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. These begin to reveal to us not only what a church should uphold, but how they should respond, react in certain situations, the leadership that they should have. All these things begin to be mentioned. In this particular chapter, Paul will start right off the bat establishing the goal. And it's always good to know what the goal of the church is. If you're a little bit fuzzy on that, then, you know, what is the saying? You aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Mm-hmm. So you begin to wander. And so our hope is that we give a clarity of where we're going, what the church is about. If you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it reads this way in verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that it's talking about the fact that Timothy is the pastor there at the church at Ephesus, in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths, endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Now watch verse 5. Couldn't get more clear. But the goal of our instruction is love. From a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. If you're confused about what love looks like, all you have to do is turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then also, as you look in Ephesians, which is interesting, this is the church in which Timothy ministers in, you look at Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, walk in love, and it says, imitate God as Christ. So once again, if you're confused about what love looks like, and that's why Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another like I love. It's not left up to your definition of what love looks like, but according to Christ and the way he demonstrates love. And of course, obviously, that begins with a love for the Father more than anything. And so as you look at this, you realize that as he lays the foundation, that there's going to be a tendency for the church to stray from these things. In fact, the very next verse reads this way in verse 6. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. Well, maybe they won't at least teach it. No. Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they're saying, matters about which they make confident assertion. In other words, they're going around talking about things that they have no idea what they're talking about because they miss the point. When I consider church and when I consider what we're doing, if you were to go down a list of things that we don't do, they're probably longer than the things that we do, because so many churches have turned astray from the things that really focus on your love for God and walking in the love of Christ. It's taken us off that focus. And so you won't find a lot of pomp within this church. You won't see a lot of showmanship. You won't see us coming together for monetary exaltation, that is to say, to elevate money in any way. I've often had questions about multimedia in the church. So here we go. Multimedia is not the devil. It's not a bad thing, and you know, I'm not going to in any way say that that's true. But I would say that anything that detracts from listening to the message or anything, a number of years ago, I was involved in a church and they had cameras in the church. I would watch the reaction of the people that would walk in. from coming into the door, and then, and once they saw that camera come on them, boy, they just changed. Now, if you think about it, our goal is to be sincere. In fact, if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's read this again in verse 5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and what's that last phrase?
Sincere
faith. Right. So you and I are doing what we're doing, not because the camera's on us, but because this is our heart. You know, when media begins to be that thing, you know, I know that we could have something up front, and it would be so much easier that we just have the songs up front and you could read it, but then you wouldn't have to share books. You know, there's something to the sharing that hopefully will bring you together in some way. You ever seen somebody walk in, they're kind of a stranger, and we're singing songs that we all know, and, well, you should be picking up a book and showing them where it is. But it's an introduction into that person, into that relationship. You don't want to take that away, do you? I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, we could hire people to clean the church, but where would the joy come from all of you cleaning the church? It's amazing how many of you folks come in and clean the church. We have such a rotation. How often does somebody have to come in to clean the church? What is it, once a quarter? So, wow, that's a lot of people rotating. And how wonderful it is to know that you begin to own the church. There are a lot of things that we could do that would make things easier, but wouldn't make things better. And our hope is that we develop that sincere faith, that in some way we encourage that love. And so we're not going to have a drama workshop. You know, some of you are really good, VBS. You see you guys up here, and I'm going, wow, they could be Hollywood stuff. It's amazing, but no, we're not going to have a drama workshop. And the reason why is they call those people actors. Actors means that you're not being real. The very word hypocrisy comes from the word to put on a mask and act. So it's actually that Greek term that makes reference to them going into this drama. Of course, we know that Greeks love drama. So that's where the word comes from. If you go into acting, you're no longer sincere. You're no longer genuine. Look, I know that there are good shows that make reference to Christians, and they're very touching and everything else, but it's still acting. And what we want to encourage in the church, we know that people are going to do things outside the church, and that's fine, and there are Christians that do things that are fine outside the church. But the church should emphasize that which is real, that which is genuine. We're not going to have yoga classes, weightlifting classes, I guess some people do. Karate class, I've seen some churches go into that kind of. We're not going to have a baseball team, basketball team, football team. We're just not going to do that. Now, that you go out and play basketball, football, and nothing wrong with that. We're just not going to do that in the church. Because the purpose of the church, it's, as John will say in 1 John, our fellowship is in Christ. And so we proclaim him. I'll give you another passage that makes reference to this. It's found in Ephesians. And once again, the church that Timothy was pastor over. In Ephesians chapter 4, it reminds us of why God gave leaders within the church, some as apostles, verse 11, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Watch the statement here in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, if we're not building up the body of Christ, we're missing the point. If we're not focusing on him. The goal is, once again, stated in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In other words, our goal is to help you look more like Jesus. And your goal is to help all of us look more like Jesus. That's why God gives different gifts, and different ones are going to be stronger in other areas than some other people. But We build one another up for this purpose, that we might exemplify Christ. If you look in chapter 5, verse 1, it reads this way, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice as a fragrant aroma." In other words, who should you be looking like? Christ. Well, that's the goal of the church, to build you up in that state of mind. Colossians reads this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Did you get that? That's pretty succinct, isn't it? We proclaim him. We're not going to get into competition. We're not going to get any grandstanding, pomp, vainglory, none of that stuff, because none of that stuff points you to Christ. We try to make sure that when you sing, you're singing songs that are theologically correct. You may not be the best of singers, but Scripture says that when you sing to one another, and then, but most of all, you make melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, if you're singing and you're not singing in your heart to the Lord, you're singing to the wrong person. And you're singing for the wrong reasons. I've seen people, even in the audience, they begin to sing, and no doubt about it, they want people to hear how wonderful their voice is. And I'm saying, that's not your goal. Your goal is to build up the body. And so if you're sitting there drowning out everybody with how wonderful your voice is, you may have a wonderful voice. You're not building up the person next to you. That person next to you is going, "Oh, I don't have a voice nearly that wonderful." Well, you've just torn down that person. You didn't mean to, maybe. But the focus was on self. And the same thing was any kind of showmanship, the same thing as, we just get back to the basics. If you look at the fundamentals of the church when it first started, if you're confused once again about that, just go into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the beginning of the church. So what does the church look like? It was an interesting comment that Billy Graham had made a number of years ago. He says, "I'm convinced that if you take the Holy Spirit out of most churches, nobody would miss him." And the point is that most churches aren't operating in the Holy Spirit. But that's where the church begins. That's that whole Acts 2, right? The Spirit came upon the church and it became a living being. It's kind of the picture of Adam. He was just a lump of clay until God breathed in him, and then there was life. Well, that was the church. It was just a lump of people until the Spirit of God breathed in the church. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, if you're confused about what that looks like, is Jesus saying, "Thy will be done." That's within you. And your desire is always to please the Father. That's what the Spirit of Christ in you should look like. And you're going to be confident in that desire. When it says that in Acts chapter 4 that these men were full of the Holy Spirit, it says they began to speak with all confidence the wonderful gospel of Christ. So what does the church look like? Well, we're going to always be confident lifting up Christ. We're not going to lift up ourselves. Paul will say, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. And so, once the church gets into the whole antics of, we got to bring people in by virtue of, I've seen, people being taken up in balloons. I've seen jets flying over churches. I lived in California, so not much you won't see over there. But you begin to realize that people are doing the wrong thing. We should be devoting ourselves to one another, Romans chapter 12, in the goal to build up one another. So whether it's the measure of faith that God gives you, Romans chapter 12, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, whether it's the spiritual gifts that God gives you, it's all for the purpose of building up the body so that you might encourage us, we might encourage you to be more like Christ. That's not a real confusing thing, isn't it? The goal of our instruction is love, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. We want you to be real. And, if in fact you come into church and you feel a sense of, I think these people actually like me, then I think we've done what we're supposed to do. And if you sense that they care for your soul rather than for your purse, we've done what we're supposed to do. See? And we don't want to look like other churches. And once again, you go back to the foundation of the church. Do you know that for 200 years, from the day that the church was founded, over 200 years, they never had a church building? They were meeting at homes. So I don't know what all this is about with all the edifices. I mean, we're hoping to build a building, but it's for the purpose of, are we going to have room for babies? But I used to always say, and probably some of you have been with me long enough, I'd be willing to rent till the rapture. But then it got too expensive to rent. But the Lord has us here, and our desires to point to Him. Father, we give You thanks for Your love for us and the simplicity of the truth and what the church is really about. Lord, help us not to get lost in the pomp and the circumstance of man and building of great things. As the disciples look at the wonderful temple, man, what magnificent stones. And You turn to them in great wisdom and say, did You see that poor woman giving all that she had? Lord, our focus is easily taken off of You and what is right and what is good. Lord, keep us true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.